This is the smell of the leftover tuna fish sandwich you left in your lunchbox over the weekend in a Wimpy trash bag.
Wimpy, Wimpy, Wimpy!
Blech! And this is the smell of that same sandwich in a Hefty Ultra Strong trash bag.
Hefty, Hefty, Hefty!
Ah, smell the difference? Hefty Ultra Strong has Arm & Hammer with continuous odor control, so no matter what's inside your trash, you can stay one step ahead of stinky. And for bigger jobs, try the superior strength of Hefty Large Black Bags.
What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.
They were the heroes from the future. Teenagers protecting the universe from those that would sow the seeds of chaos. Each had unique powers and abilities. And though they often had their differences, they came together to save the day as the Legion of Superheroes. Now, you can be a part of their adventures and learn the history of the future in the Legion Clubhouse.
This week on the Legion Clubhouse, we are testing the Legionnaire's metal. Just wait for the thing and you'll find out what that means.
Legion of Superheroes number 297, Metal. Published March 1983. Written by Keith Giffen and Paul Levitz, with art by Keith Giffen. Synopsis: will Cosmic Boy succumb to his need for revenge?
A special spotlight on Cosmic Boy. That's what we're doing in this first issue this week.
Mm-hmm. And Legion of Superheroes 297, which follows up from the
296 and before that 295.
Well,
before 298.
I'm going to smack you. No, it follows up from the firebombing of Metropolis last issue.
Yes. Yes. And Cosmic Boy is a little irate. The opening splash page, if you have watched the Obi-Wan Kenobi series, and really, I forget which one of the Star Wars is, whether it was the 8 or 7 or 9, or 7 of 9. But when Darth Vader and Obi-Wan, spoiler alert for those of you who haven't seen that series yet, Darth Vader comes in and he's really angry and he just grabs this starship that's like starting to fly away out of the port, and he just slams it down with the force into a million bazillion pieces. That's kind of the mindset that Cosmic Boy has going on in the opening page of this issue.
I think Vader stole that from Cosmic
probably. Boy. I mean, there are a couple of other instances. For example, on page 3, Cosmic Boy is so angry. You know, he is ready to kill these people that bombed Metropolis and, you know, taking it personally because apparently they purposefully bombed his parents. Right. He yanks the alien characters out of the ship and they're like, how are you doing this? And he's like, you've got iron in your blood and I'm controlling it. I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember when Magneto did that in that X-Men movie. So, yeah, you're right. There may be some influences in between these things, although we may have to go and look at some comic books because I'm going to bet that Darth Vader in those Star Wars comics of the late 70s, early 80s, was probably also doing something similar to this in those comic book pages.
I can't think of anything.
And I'm pretty sure that Magneto did that whole Wolverine shtick in a comic book probably from the 80s as well.
No, that was 95.
Was it?
What's interesting to me, and I actually went back and I tried to look this up and I can't confirm it, but I feel like at the very least, this is the first time that we've really had a focus on the visualization of concentric circles as Cosmic Boy's magnetic signature. Because I was looking at previous issues where it's always been kind
probably
of like a
wavy
little,
lines or something.
Yeah, like a little lines. Or one of those telekinetic fields that you'd see Jean Grey do with this one. And it's really cool because that first page has just a series of these concentric circles. When he's using his powers, you have circles coming out of his fists and circles, you know, moving around and pulling things. And all of the stuff around him, everything that he's trying to move, is being affected by that.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. It's certainly squares and circles, but it is an interesting layout in how you color and use those circles in there. So, yeah, it's interesting. I think because of the point of view that you're looking at, it makes it a lot more interesting than, wow, there was a lot of work put into this panel because there's not a lot of work in here. It's literally squares and circles.
But have you ever tried to draw a circle?
Yeah. You get a little compass out and you go zoop, zoop. Or here's how I sometimes draw a circle. I will get a cup or a bowl, and I'll flip it upside down and take my pencil and go zing all the way around the outside. So here's the thing that I was going to ask last episode, but I forgot. And I have a feeling that the answer is, oh, no, this is a coloring thing. But when did Cosmic Boy become possessed by Eclipso?
That is a coloring thing. That's actually, that's the beginning.
Are we sure?
It is. That's the beginning of something that is going to become a real problem for Keith Giffen, because we've talked previously about the point where he starts getting really heavily obsessed with an artist named Munoz.
Uh-huh.
That effect is one of the things that starts to crop up in his work, because if you look at page 4, when Night Girl turns to see the Legion, she's also got that shadow effect.
Possessed by Eclipso. Although hers
like
is more of a
throughout
shadow.
The issue.
It's so like she's got a very natural shading, as does Lightning Lad has that shading. But the only one that has the weirdest shading in here is Cosmic Boy, because his is blue. It's not just a darker tone of whatever skin that's going on. And I'm like, are they leading up to some kind of Eclipso event across the DCU?
Eclipso was like a super minor idiot at this point.
But it's only Cosmic Boy that has this blue shading on his face. So that's why I bring it up, because it is super odd and super weird to see that here.
Yeah. Carl Gafford is coloring this issue, and I can't remember if Gafford has been on the book before.
Well, if it's this,
I feel like
again, we're looking at something that's recolored for this omnibus edition. So
but yeah, it is interesting. And even the omnibus editions really do kind of take their cues from what the originals have done, because I am actually looking at the original printing, but yeah, it's blue there too. So whatever they've recolored, they've tried, I think, at least a little bit to maintain it.
It's an odd shading choice. I'm just going to say that. And for people who are fans of Eclipso, because Brock is going a little crazy here, maybe just imagine that he's got a hold of an Eclipso crystal, and that's what's driving him to the insane.
Yeah.
Because if I'm not mistaken, the only way you can break an Eclipso power is by knocking the person out, right?
I don't remember.
I think that's it.
It honestly depends.
Yeah, I think that's it. And so Shadow Girl, Night Girl.
Girl,
you'll be a night woman soon.
That's Shadow Lass, who's about to become Shadow Woman.
Yes.
But that's another story entirely.
In any case, she knocks him out, and then he comes to his senses, right?
No, she knocks him out, and he wakes up even more disturbed. But yeah, this is something else. I feel like the casual way that Lita punches out Rock and then Rock slams her through a wall really kind of implies a level of violence in superhero relationships that I'm just not comfortable with. But yeah, she punches him right in the face. He's unconscious. And so he stands down temporarily, but then he seems calm and they return to Medicus One, or they return to wherever his parents are being kept in the hospital. And he seems calm and he seems calm. And then they realize that he's gone in. He's locked the doors behind them and magnetically sealed them so that no one can open those doors.
Well, he hasn't magnetically sealed them. He's actually reprogrammed the locks because Data is all nothing but magnetic signatures on a tape drive somewhere.
But, certainly in 1983.
Yeah. yeah, this guy is not right in the head.
He is very clearly disturbed. And Sunboy's concern last issue, and his worry about Rock coming back and, you know, flipping out, totally justified. Absolutely justified, because literally Cosmic Boy lands, finds out about the firebombing, and heads off to Metropolis Spaceport. It seemingly, clearly intending to kill.
Oh, no, that is his main thing. He's definitely saying, I'm ready to kill these guys. Yeah. And that is his driving factor throughout this piece.
Yeah.
And he's not in his right mind, because even when the doctor on Medicus One is like, no, you can't go in there. Everybody's going through this treatment. We can't allow anybody in there. And he's just like, I don't care. And he rips open the door. So potentially by doing that, he's putting his brother's dead. He's putting his parents and everybody else who was affected by this nuclear blast in greater jeopardy.
Yeah. Not to mention possibly, you know, endangering the Doctor. Theoretically, if he has his flight ring with the trans suit on, he should be protected. But even so, yeah, it's clearly this is not a man in control. This is not good.
Oh, no, I'm not. I wasn't implying that he is putting himself in jeopardy by going into that room. I mean that he's putting everyone else in jeopardy because he could potentially be disrupting whatever procedure that's going on, the decontamination chamber, all those hot showers and everything, or cold showers. Mm-hmm. I don't remember how decontamination works in, what was that movie with the, wasn't Sissy Spacek, was it? Where she got the water hose. Was it Jane Fonda? Because she was getting decontaminated because of the radioactive exposure.
I'm not
this is
sure.
A movie
was
that
it
came
the Andromeda
out of,
strain?
No, this is a movie that came out of the same thing. It's about a nuclear meltdown, or she was exposed to.
Oh, Silkwood.
Silkwood. That's
Meryl
it. Yeah. Meryl Streep. That's it. Yeah. The other thing that is really weird in here is we not only get a retcon of Cosmic Boy's origin, but we get, what is this, the 10th or 11th time that we get the origin story of the Legion being told and being tweaked. Subtly each time.
Yes, this one actually adds two things that I think are pretty important. One, to my knowledge, and I will be corrected, I'm sure, but to my knowledge, this is the first time that I can find a reference to Rock being a sports champion, a Magno Ball champion.
No, I could have swore that in a previous issue.
I can't find it. I
that
went
he
back
was
to
coming
Superboy
to do Magno Ball.
He was coming to the very first time they told the origin, Superboy 147, he was coming to Earth for work.
Yeah.
He was trying to find a job.
Yeah.
And I went through and we saw it again in, it wasn't actually that long ago that we saw it.
Right.
But every time that I can find the story being told, this is the first time I can find a reference to Magno Ball specifically.
For some reason,
one that I missed, I'll be happy to.
Yeah. For some reason, I want to say that there was a previous one, maybe not the last one, but maybe the one before that, where he was like, yeah, I'm coming to play Magno Ball. And it was like, okay.
The last one we would have seen was probably in Secrets of the Legion of Superheroes number one, which would have been from 78. And that one definitely did not mention Magno Ball. So
I think there was one
in between that and the Superboy 147.
I think here's what our listeners can do for us. Go and catalog issue number and month year publication of every time we see the origin story of how the Legion formed. And the origin story I'm talking about is Saturn Girl, Cosmic Boy, and Lightning Lad saving RJ Brand's life. Every time that comes up, because I feel like we're getting in one of those weird, like crazy time loops where every time you do the time loop, it gets shorter and shorter and shorter to where I have a feeling like in the next 2 years, it's going to be like every issue is going to be like, and here's how the origin of the Legion of Superheroes came about. Just because they're happening so quick. But I bet that there is a, I would be interested to see if there is a pattern of some kind of how often do they have to reference the origin story of the Legion.
Well, the first origin didn't come until 68. So it had been a full 10 years from the Legion debut before we saw that origin. So right now we're at 83, and I know that there was a retelling in 78. So if there's something between 68 and 78 that I forgot about.
Oh, I'm definitely going to bet. I make a joke about this being the 10th or 11th time. I believe that this is literally the fifth or sixth time that we've seen this story in some snippet shape, you know, and even if it's just a brief thing of, yeah, we saved RJ Brand's life and he created the Legion two panels.
I think that there is a possibility that you are actually thinking of the reboot Legion in Legion of Superheroes number zero, when you mentioned him coming to Earth to play Magno Ball.
Maybe.
I think so, because this mentions Magno Ball, but he's not coming to Earth to play Magno Ball. He's actually coming to Earth to try and, you know, do something. But
yeah,
he needs a job because his parents are broke.
Which is interesting. It's interesting, yeah, that his family's broke. I thought, was it Cosmic Boy that when we did that day in the life of and we saw everybody out of costume doing their own things that he went home and his parents were like, we need the money. Or was that?
That was Matter Eater Lad.
That Matter Eater Lad. That's what I thought. So I thought
Matter
that
Eater
was,
Lad's father was a gambler.
Yeah. But I thought it was
around
weird that everybody,
time,
all these kids are coming from these poor destitute families that are just like, we're relying on you, son. And again, I think of what's his name? Shooter that had to, that was literally writing these comics to put food on the family's table.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, wow, there's definitely some things that need to happen with, well, let's just get into it. There's a moment where Cosmic Boy is walking away after his initial incident. And, I forget who it says, but it says, you know, there are some things that a man just has to work out on his own. And it's like, mm-hmm. whoa, no. That's what toxic masculinity is. And I know we're in the '80s and the me generation and, mm-hmm. You know, the alpha male, rise of the alpha male kind of stuff. But the last thing that you need when someone is going through a break like this, and he is having mm-hmm. a psychotic break, you know, one thing that you need to know is that men are allowed to have feelings. It's okay for a man to seek help if he is in a bad, rough spot mentally, physically, whatever. It's also okay for a man to cry. It's okay for a man to say, I'm not okay. And this book right. does nothing. And again, it's 1980, so we wouldn't expect that. But anybody reading this today and thinking that this is, you know, men just swallow their feelings and keep them tight, bundled down inside in their gut. Mm-hmm. That is how toxic masculinity runs amok in the world. So I'm just saying that I understand why they're doing it here. But, ooh, man, today we would have a sensitivity reader come in and say, I think it's okay for people to say that they're not okay.
It's interesting because the line actually comes from Chameleon Boy,
mm-hmm.
who seems to be referencing his time in prison and the things that he, you know, the stupid things that he did to get to that point, I think. At least that's the way it feels to me. But it's weird to have that come from Chameleon Boy.
Yeah, it is.
And what's even weirder is the person who I would expect to say that, Sun Boy, spends most of the issue and part of last issue trying to find and help and protect Cosmic Boy. And we've never seen them be close friends. We've never seen them have a really strong relationship.
What is his role in the Legion right now? Is he second in command?
Sun Boy is kind of just the designated jerk.
Oh, who's the second in command? Because it's not Element.
Ultra Boy.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
Ultra Boy got the third number of votes, so Ultra Boy is the deputy. But Sun Boy doesn't really have a leadership role, and we don't usually see him in a leadership role. We don't see him having close friendships with anybody. The most I think we've gotten is he plays D&D with Starboy, but throughout mm-hmm. this issue, he seems to be very much concerned. And when they come down, Sun Boy is like, oh, man, we should have been there. We should have gotten Cosmic Boy before this ever happened. And it feels like, first of all, it feels weird from Sun Boy, but it also feels neat that even though they're not close friends, they've been, you know, working together for so long that Sun Boy is worried about his colleague, his associate, his friend, whatever. But yeah, it feels odd to have Chameleon Boy be the, oh, well, a man's gotta do what a man's gotta do.
Yeah, and that's why I wonder if that makes reading the Legion seem weird and awkward at times when, and maybe, you know, Giffen and Levitz are going to be on the Legion for quite some time going
Levitz
forward.
Levitz for sure, yeah.
I wonder at what point Levitz is like, okay, I need to get everybody. I mean, I wonder if at this point, and it doesn't mm-hmm. feel like he does, if he has the Legion's personality, each member's personality down. Or if it's just like, oh, this is a good spot to put in Chameleon Boy. And Chameleon Boy says, I don't know, let a man do what a man's got to do. Leave him alone. He's got to walk his own path. Grr.
I feel like a lot of the Legionnaires, he really does have a lock on. I really like his Cosmic Boy because his Cosmic Boy hasn't yet fallen into the boring leader trap that also caught Cyclops and for a while had Captain America in its grasp.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I feel like his Brainiac 5 has a nice balance of weird logic, but not a Vulcan and, you know, not a robot. But yeah, I feel like the Chameleon Boy stuff, especially, you know, as Chameleon Boy comes back, he's just gotten out of Takran Galto's prison. He's got no powers. He's in a weird place. But what I think of as the Chameleon Boy character, yeah, really doesn't fit that, the words that he says in this issue.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I don't know.
And then finally, Cosmic Boy loses it and he decides, you know what? And who is it that's dead? I thought it was his brother, though.
His mother.
His mother is dead. Okay.
No, his brother actually survives to become a Legionnaire.
Okay. So his mother's dead. His mother, Ewa, died. He skyrockets out of the facility and is using the electromagnetic parts of the Earth to move, which means that he's moving at quite the speed. He doesn't have to use his flight ring for that.
And it looks cool because more concentric circles.
Sure. But the bad thing is he goes and he attacks the ship again, pulls these guys out, and he's ready to kill them until he comes to his senses and says, oh, no, if I kill these guys, I'm no better than they are.
He actually, as they're screaming, please, no, he sees the image of his dead mother screaming, no. And he's like, oh, wait. I can't do this in the name of my mother. If I kill you, I'm no better than you are. Which I think may be the first time we've seen that particular giant cliche chestnut in the Legion. I don't know.
So the thing that every time I'm getting to one of these things, and we've talked about this in multiple episodes now, is that, you know, Starboy's nowhere to be found, right? Like, Starboy should be like, listen, I was angry and almost killed a guy, and you guys kicked me out of the Legion, and it turned out that it was all...
No, he actually killed a guy.
Well, I mean, not... I mean,
the guy died. I mean, there was somebody. There was a dead guy.
He was there, and they blamed him. And it's like,
Starboy did something that caused a man to die.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I don't have to save you.
okay.
No, but it's just like, I do find it interesting that in all these instances where, you know, people are getting killed or horrible things are happening, Starboy is nowhere to be found to point fingers and say, hey, why are we suddenly allowing this now? And when I did it, it was a horrible, horrible thing. Maybe Starboy is the one that broke the seal and now everybody's okay with the punching and the killings. But there doesn't seem to be any kind of ramification. I mean, Cosmic Boy literally attempts murder in this comic book twice. He's literally attempted murder.
Attempted murder is a crime. I am in no way trying to minimize attempted murder, but I will say this. There is no clause in the Legion.
Yes, but I bet that there is a clause somewhere in the United Planets about attempted murder. All that being said, I understand what the writers are going for. I know that they're trying to test Cosmic Boy's metal. See, there's a callback to the title.
Metal issue.
Where we have to see, is he willing to go and cross that line? And obviously the answer is no, because he's like, oh man, I need to go get help. No, wait, he doesn't say I need to go get help.
Huh. He just flies off.
That's weird. Huh?
He
comes to his senses and with an evil grin says, yeah, I have learned my lesson about killing.
He says nothing.
Exactly.
And this is the thing. I love this issue with the exception of the last five panels. I feel like this is a very strong issue. This is one of the rare cases in comics where you see someone dealing with a traumatic incident and having it feel traumatic, not just for him, but for everyone around him. And I feel like Cosmic Boy, especially a Legion founder, one of the writers of the Constitution of the Legion, coming to a point where he's like, I have a personal reason that I feel I am ready to kill and stopping. I like that, especially in the context of 1983, because, you know, 84 would bring us the Wolverine Limited series, which kind of, as you say, broke the seal on superheroes just chopping people up. But the last five panels are, first of all,
he's in Eclipso mode.
He is in Eclipso mode. They're colored weird in my copy because it looks like his eyes are open. And then in the second panel, it looks like they're closed, but someone colored in the eye blue.
Weird. That is weird.
And then in the third one, he has the evil grin. And at the top, there's a scream sound effect that says, I-yee. And what it implies to me, and I don't know if you read it this way, is Cosmic Boy walked away from the guys that he was torturing. And the Legionnaires are like, I never saw a cause so violent and so powerful. And in the second panel, I never would have thought he had it in him. And then you see the scream and the evil smile that makes me think that Cosmic Boy just tweaked their blood a little bit more.
He might have. Now that I'm looking at this, I think you're right. I think he may have gone ahead and said, you know what? Screw this. I'm going to kill him anyway.
Or at the very least hurt them, because, I mean, clearly they didn't die. I mean, had they died, there would have been a huge schmageggy. We would have thrown him out of the team. But the way it reads is very ambiguous to me.
Oh, yeah. Maybe he just tweaked him a little, gave him a little, you know, twisted their broken arm or stepped on their hand kind of moment where they scream just so he knows. Sends the message that, yes, I could do it, but I choose not to. I'll just be a sadist and step on your hand.
Yeah, like when the cat, like, puts his teeth right on your hand and says, I could bite you. I could bite you. But then he doesn't.
Yeah.
Maybe your cat doesn't do that.
The new one does, and he lost a tooth that way, so.
He lost a tooth biting you?
Yes.
I think that says something about your diet, and also maybe the cat's diet.
Yeah, I know. So much sun of this yellow sun.
You're like
giving me.
You're like the skin of made out of marble.
The skin of steel. Yeah, yeah. So it's really weird. What's going on here? And again, as we get up to issue 300, a lot of this will hopefully be answered, or at least some of these questions will be brought up for the rest of the Legion to answer. The only other weird thing that's in this issue that pointed out is after the initial confrontation, Timberwolf is like. Lightlass left and I'm all alone here. Well, I guess I'm going to go down to the hooker district and pick me up some friendly girls.
He did no such thing. He took a bus to Boston.
Yeah. Sunboy says the girls are friendliest there. Never asked one to go out before. Maybe I should have gotten his advice. He's like ready to just move on and find another girl. Friendly girls.
This is the thing, though. Keep in mind, this is Bryn, the lone wolf, the only real relationship he ever had. The first real relationship he ever had just dissolved. He doesn't really bond well with anybody but Block, who, I mean, it's Block. Everybody loves Block. Nobody hates Block. You can't not love Block. But yeah, it is weird. And it's one of those moments where this particular issue, has a couple of bits where you're like, hey, here's something about a Legionnaire. And here's something about another Legionnaire. And I'm like, well, why can't we take the time to really devote the issue to Cosmic Boy? And honestly, the answer is there's 24 members of the team.
So I don't know if it was this issue. Maybe it's the next issue and I'll bring it up. This one is definitely focusing on Cosmic Boy in this issue, which I'm fine. I really, I like the story that's being told. I don't like that we get a retcon. I don't like that we get the 11th telling of the our origin story meet cute here.
Oh, it's been several years since we've seen it.
Well, maybe since it's been in print. It's probably been less than 6 months since we've seen it in this show.
Well, the show takes two issues at a time.
Here's the problem. They're talking about how great, or we see Cosmic Boy in the end of this issue. Maybe doing something nice and really doing something horrific. Then you jump to the letters page and there's like a teaser comic. I don't know why this teaser comic is in there, but he's like, hi, it's Rock Kryn, resident of the 20th century buff character member, charter member of the Legion of Superheroes, ex-leader and all around hell of a nice guy. And it's like, that seems a little out of place.
That does, especially right after that story.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just,
and it ends up
what
just being
thinking?
A joke about, Giffen not wanting to write his autobiography, but
yeah.
Oh, the other thing in this issue, and you call it out in your notes, somehow between panels, Brainiac 5 cured Matter Eater Lad.
Yeah. And that, I thought that was a very much a hand wavy kind of thing that was like, we're not even going to talk about it. Brainiac 5 is not going to brag about it. And all we do is see Matter Eater Lad getting wheeled off saying, well, if you ever need somebody that's hungry in your crew, call me up and I'll try not to mix my politics with your superheroing. Goodbye. And then, Matter Eater Lad died on the way back to his planet. I mean, that's what it feels like. It really feels like that's how they're treating him, is just like, well, we had him, we put him in a coma because he went mad. We beat him the heck up and now we cured him and away he goes. So it's just like, he hasn't really done anything in all of these appearances. It's very weird and awkward.
It is. And I seem to remember Giffen, at least, saying that at this point early in his career, Matter Eater Lad was something that he found was goofy and embarrassing. I don't know if Levitz shares that opinion. And honestly, I mean, it's hard to say because I can't remember if Levitz actually wrote the story that had him go insane. I want to say that was Steve Apollo.
Maybe.
I love that work. Steve Apollo. He was great.
Yeah.
But yeah.
$6 Million Man.
It is weird to just have that happen. But I also wonder if it wasn't done because of Invisible Kid's sister.
Oh, you
remember?
We can't have too many people that Brainiac 5 is trying to work on.
Right. We can't have Brainiac 5 with a backlog of people that he can't cure.
Yeah.
Because then you get into that situation where Superman took 1,000 years to remember that he owed Mon-El a favor, you know, and it makes Brainiac 5 seem less Brainiac-y and, you know, more of a 5.
Yeah, it's interesting. It'd be interesting to see what happens next. We're about to find out. It's 298, just around the corner.
If you enjoy the show, we would appreciate your support. You can find out more and become a Legion Clubhouse member at patreon.com/majorspoilers. Legion of Superheroes number 298, The Edge of Nowhere. Published April 1983. Written by Keith Giffen and Paul Levitz, with art by Keith Giffen. Synopsis: why is Duplicate Boy attacking a Legionnaire? And will anyone survive long enough to find out?
Yeah, you heard the whoosh and you heard Jason do the thing. So now we're at the edge of nowhere. Here's the problem that I have with 298. And this is something that wasn't necessarily a problem in the previous issue.
Mm-hmm.
The problem that I have is they're trying to tell too many stories at the same time in here. I don't mind, it feels like there's four different stories going on here. Mm-hmm. And I think that's maybe one too many, because it's like, okay, we get a page of this. Now we go back to this other action, and then we get a page of that, and now we're on to some other action. And at times it felt very jumpy and chaotic as far as trying to figure out what story we're really supposed to be focusing on and paying attention to. And I know the answer is all of them, but at the same time, our attention is very, very much divided up as we read this. That's my biggest complaint about this particular issue.
But not so long ago, back in the 260s, when they were doing four Legionnaires at a time, you said, and I quote, or actually I just sort of paraphrase, there was a point where we had three teams splitting up, and one team was here and one team was at the space surface, and we had three sets of five. Mm-hmm. I think this is meant to be that. And I don't necessarily feel like it's overloaded, but it absolutely feels like a housekeeping issue.
Yeah, and maybe that's it too. And my comment in the previous ones were maybe we had two of those teams being featured in an issue, and then in another issue we'd flip it around. It wasn't like you were seeing all three teams in the same issue. Also, three is one fewer than four, which is all the different storylines that we got in here, which just a moment ago.
Okay,
I said,
what
it feels
the
like there's
you
one got more. There's it has
what you
more.
Got
what's that?
What are the four stories?
So the first story we have is
Asteroid Archipelago.
We got to go and find out who killed what on the asteroid.
Right.
Which maybe
so that's
is
Wildfire and the New Kids.
Yeah. Then we have Lightning Lad and Saturn Girl going up to Spaceport One for whatever reason.
Medicus One. It's a secret reason. They need a doctor.
Yeah, because somebody's pregnant.
What kind of doctor?
I don't know. And apparently the receptionist doesn't know either, which is a very frustrating kind of bit of the story. But the thing that about that story that is super frustrating is that they specifically say that the hospital, the hospital is full from all of the people from the Daxamite War, and not our hospital is full because of all the nuke people, which I found very odd. To say
all of those people are still in Metropolis.
I guess. Yes, they're all ashes.
That was
now,
a few
so
thousand
really
people. Yeah. This is a million people.
I guess. I just was like, oh, and you'd make no mention of the people who just got nuked two issues ago. Then we have angry, upset boyfriend. That's your third story.
Boy. Yep.
Then you have then you have the cute Siobhan Aaron Element Lad. Let's play Pac-Man instead of Dungeons and Dragons, which I thought was cute. And it's like, oh, these two are going to hook up.
They absolutely are. Yeah.
And then
dovetails into that main story.
Yeah. It dovetails into the main story, but it is a separate storyline when it starts. And then the murder on the asteroid thing turns into a double, almost a triple thing of a cooned warrior wanting to do battle arena and Invisible Kid warping out into some other, plane of existence because he saw something.
Right. And of course, My copy has 18 pages in the middle of Amethyst Princess of the Gem World.
Oh, yeah. No, this one does not have that thing.
No, they did not reprint that.
There's like four or five different things going on in here, which just feels like a lot.
I feel like you're correct. And I do seem like it feels, I feel like it seems like a lot, however that sentence should go. But I also kind of like it because to me, it feels like one of those Lower Decks episodes of Star Trek. Now, I don't think it hits all of the notes that it needs to hit to be a successful one. But it really feels like a, you know, State of the Union thing going into the big number 300 celebration that we're going to have in a minute. It feels like we really need to do something to establish all of our players to get everybody in place where they need to be. And
yeah, we're putting all of our players on the chessboard kind of thing. Yeah, I agree with you completely there. Duplicate Boy shows up and he's like, "You're making out with my woman." And Shrinking Violet's like, "I never said I was your woman anymore." And they fight. And then, of course, the Legion all have to be called in to bring him down. And it is Ultra Boy who ultimately brings him down. And Duplicate Boy is like, "Yeah, I guess I don't like her anymore anyway. See ya."
Actually, his exact words are, "That's not the Vi I fell in love with."
Uh-oh, it's not her. She's been replaced.
That's crazy talk. But it is interesting that he uses those exact words. "She's not the Violet I fell in love with." And most importantly, and Element Lad calls this out, when Duplicate Boy shows up, there's a panel that we take for granted, but there's a panel where
she's
Duplicate Boy shows up and she's like, "Who?"
Oh, right.
It's like she doesn't know who he is. And Siobhan points out throughout the battle that she doesn't look like someone watching her ex fight her current boyfriend. She looks scared. She looks afraid of why is Duplicate Boy there.
Notice on her shading on that very last panel, she's also got the Eclipso blue going on.
Ooh, foreshadowing.
So does Element Lad.
Is your key to quality.
So does Element Lad. So they're all Eclipsos.
And Element Lad is going full on detective mode, which I enjoy.
Yeah.
Element Lad and Siobhan here are actually bonding over the fact that they caught clues that nobody else did.
Yeah. No, I like that. I like that storyline. One of the best players, ancillary, or I should say new characters that have joined the Legion in the last 20 issues or so, is Siobhan Aran. I like having the normal, quote unquote, normal person who is there to kind of watch. She becomes a more through character, providing that she gets used a little bit more often. She becomes that through character for the audience to read, going, "Well, I'm just a mere human. What do I know?" And then we find out, "Oh, I can also be valuable to the team." We get to see some romance and all that stuff. So it makes it, I think, a little bit more humanizing to the reader to include her. And I think that, you know, she is, as far as non-Legion members go, that we have seen in this and in future stories as well, she's my favorite non-Legion character. She's better than RJ Brand. She's better than Dr. Gimlet. She's better than, you know, Tracy 13. I like Tracy 13 a lot, so maybe not. Maybe those two should have a fight and see who could win. I know. I did say non-Legion member for all of you who are listening. I like her. I like her as an addition to this team. And, you know, I like that she is not a standoffish person and that she's willing to try to form relationships with members of the Legion.
Yeah. And she, you know, she does double duty as that point of view character. But she can also be DC Fontana and the producers of Star Trek referred to as the cabbage head. So you don't have to have a Legionnaire say something stupid and Brainiac 5 go, "As you know, Matter Eater Lad was eaten by frogs in issue 252. You can actually explain it to Siobhan, which we see a couple of times, including Element Lad going, "Yeah, this thing happened." I really kind of, I agree with you. Having Siobhan, having any type of just normal
or
ground level character is important.
And I'm not saying Invisible Kid 2 or that Block or even White Witch are bad characters, but it feels more natural to have Siobhan asking questions and getting answers as opposed to, well, my French-speaking friend, let me explain to you what's going on. Because then it just seems demeaning and down-putting. Same way when they constantly chide Block. Oh, Block, don't you ever watch the Legion tapes? And he's like, I just watched them with my friend Wildfire. And they're like, no.
Yeah, and I agree with you. In fact, this issue gives us a really strong moment of that, because the Legionnaires are, Wildfire's being a jerk. He's like, Invisible Kid can stay with the girls. Mm-hmm. And then the team gets back together and Wildfire is being snotty and snotty and snotty about the White Witch. And Block is like, no. And Invisible Kid is like, enough, Wildfire. She's a Legionnaire. And Wildfire shuts up.
Yeah.
And Invisible Kid and Block together manage to shut down his bluster. And it's done in a way that feels professional. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't feel like one's being rude, but it also feels like Invisible Kid kind of getting his feet under him enough to kind of say to, you know, Wildfire, hey, keep your head in the game. You know, don't be a jerk. Don't focus entirely on whether Dawnstar is, you know, tired. Yeah, it's really cool to see those two characters, specifically since they've been played as the new guys for so long. I mean, Block's been with the team for like 35 issues, and he still plays.
Has it really been that long already? It feels like it's only been like 15. Oh, man, it feels like only 15 issues.
Yeah, he joined back in the Staten days, so he joined in the 250s.
Yeah, it's interesting. Oh, I forgot to mention, we also get a final story about Chameleon Boy and RJ Brand wanting to go back to the Chameleon Boy planet.
Chameleon Boy and RJ Brown running through the forest.
Yeah, to go do some Derlin action.
They're going to do some Derlinizing. You know, the Daggle family are going to have a family reunion in the hopes of getting Chameleon Boy's powers back.
There are a couple of things in this that that bothered me a little bit. Mm-hmm. The main one was that it appears, I mean, granted, one of them is passed out because she used too much of her energy, but the other Legionnaire, she throws up when they're examining the dead body they're on the asteroid. And it's like, okay, so none of the guys got queasy stomachs and it's only the women. That was a little off-putting.
Yeah, there's still a little bit of that. Well, you know, there's girls, but they're girls.
Yeah, I did like the appearance of Miss Pac-Man. That was fun.
That was nice. And it kind of creeps into the Shrinking Violet thing, too, where she's sitting there screaming for help while these two giants punch it out over who wins her affections.
Yeah.
I
wonder if we're going to see the Evil Vi story popping up here pretty soon. The other thing that is maybe a little off-putting about them is Pac-Man showing up in this. And follow me on this.
Okay.
Previously, it was Dungeons and Dragons. And Element Lad is trying to get Siobhan to come in and play Dungeons and Dragons. She's more interested in video games featuring a female character, which I don't know if the implication is, or maybe there's a subtle implication that girls don't like Dungeons and Dragons. And I don't know if that is something, you know, that you see, you do see carried forward in real life, too, where, oh, this is a game for guys. Girls don't belong here kind of thing. Right. Even though Element Lad is very much trying to get her into the game of Dungeons and Dragons. So I do dig that. I would like to see her and Element Lad and Ultra Boy that they play together?
Starboy.
Yeah,
Starboy and Sunboy.
I would like to see all of them get together and play Dungeons and Dragons together. I think that would be cool.
That'd be interesting.
So yeah, the other thing that I found a little funny is that, hey, there's a big battle going on, the untouched beauty of the Himalayas. And I'm laughing to myself because if you go and do a search on Base Camp, Mount Everest Base Camp, it's like they had to have multiple expeditions going up and down the side of Mount Everest to remove 2.2 tons of garbage that have been left behind. And you can see images where it's just like, yeah, here's all these oxygen tanks, flags, broken equipment, just littering this beautiful, untouched region
corpses
of Earth.
Corpses here and there. Well, I mean, they probably the corpses too in the future.
Yeah.
When, in a world where everybody can fly, I mean, maybe climbing a mountain doesn't hold the same sort of heft, you know?
Maybe. I don't know.
You know.
Also, Shadow Lass shows up with a new look. Right? Isn't that in this one? Did I jump ahead?
I think Shadow Lass gets her new look in the next
issue. Oh, that's right. I did read ahead.
So now, yes. Night Girl got a new look last issue that was pretty nice.
Yeah. No, it is. I did jump ahead to the next issue, but yes.
How dare you, sir?
I mean, I jumped ahead to 300. So there, ladies and gentlemen, I have already prepped
for the next issue.
Not really, because I just kind of flipped through everything. I was like, ooh, look at that. Ooh, look at that. Ooh, the coons are back. Ooh, look at that creepy guy.
Ooh, piece of candy. Ooh, piece of candy.
Yeah.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, I read these issues ahead of time, too, in 1985.
Which is interesting, since these issues came out in 1983.
Hmm? Well, I didn't say I read them all for stands.
That wraps it up for this installment of the Legion Clubhouse. Matthew, what did we learn this week?
We learned that if you're a chameleon boy and you go to prison, you come out without your funny little hat.
I think we also learned that Shrinking Violet, never trusted her.
Mm-hmm. And we learned that Duplicate Boy can fly Mach 18, which is nearly 22,500 kilometers or 14,000 miles an hour.
Yeah, the Flash is still faster.
Well, sure.
Thank you so much, everybody, for checking us out this week. If you would, go join our Patreon community of awesome superheroes. You could be one of our awesome Legion of Superheroes over there as well. All you need to do is point your browser, patreon.com/majorspoilers. We're going to be back next week because we got more issues to read, including a Brave and the Bold issue and a DC Comics Presents in coming weeks. Oh, but until then, I am a comic book reading guy.
And I'm Overcomplicate Boy.
The Legion Clubhouse is a production of Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC, and is produced by Steven Schleicher. Your hosts were Matthew Peterson and Steven Schleicher. You can follow Matthew at Mighty King Cobra and Steven at Major Spoilers. You can follow this podcast on Twitter at Legion Clubhouse. If you have questions or comments, send them to podcast@majorspoilers.com. I'm Jason Inman. Until next time, eat it, Grandpa.
This podcast is copyright 2022 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.
92% of households that start the year with Peloton are still active a year later.
92% because of a bike?
Not just bikes. We also make treadmills and rowers.
Oh, let me guess, for elite athletes only, right?
Nope. It doesn't matter if you're an avid exerciser or new to working out. Peloton can help you achieve your fitness goals. 92% stick with it. So can you. Try Peloton bikes, tread, or row risk-free with a 30-day home trial. New members only. Not available in remote locations. See additional terms at onepeloton.com/home-trial.
What's the best part of a Dunkin' Run? The coffee? Is it the coffee or the $1 donut or $2 stuffed bagel minis or $3 sausage, egg, and cheese that you can add to it? The answer, of course, is yes. Time for a Dunkin' Run. $3 offer available on sausage, egg, and cheese sandwich only. Excludes specialty donuts and fancies. Offer valid on medium or larger coffee. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer terms apply.